hazy is an understatement. We've got an air quality issue here in town today after yesterday's big winds. Calm today, but certainly very hazy. Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering our show, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Tuesday, April 26th. From AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, we've got Terry Bracey, our Washington contributor, up first, then Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley finishing up his reporting from Barcelona. Actually, he's in Lyon, France today. He was in Barcelona. 12:30, it's the centennial year for America's park system. Jim Cook, who heads up the Tucson-based Western National Parks Association, joins us and will close out the show with the Buckmaster Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs, has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents, among other clients, the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, how are you?
Just doing great, Bill. Just doing great.
Enjoying the Washington Nationals, those Nats on top of their respective division, while my Cubs sit atop their division, and pretty much similar records, right, to start things off.
14-4, 14-5.
Wow.
It's really amazing. Of course, everybody expected the Cubs to be really great this year, and they've got so much talent. Your team, I mean, Jake Arrieta has already had a no-hitter. Chris Bryant, one of the best hitters in the league. Jason Hayward, Anthony Rizzo. I mean, you've got one all-star player after the other, and no one really saw the Nats being quite as good, but it turns out they even won one more game than the Cubs. So the Nats are, of course, led by Bryce Harper, who's the world's greatest baseball player. This guy is unbelievable. And
wow.
But we have a very strong pitching staff, and we picked up Daniel Murphy from the Mets, who just murdered us when he was with the Mets last year. So they got him, and he's now leading the league in hitting. And it's just a team that fits very well, and a new manager, Dusty Baker, who has real personality. And it just seems like, you know, last year everybody was uptight and great expectations. This year the expectations aren't quite as great, and Dusty is really managing the egos. And it's kind of a fun thing to watch. It's going to be a wonderful summer.
Yeah, and 4 or 5 months from now, we'll be talking about, I think it's a safe bet to say that the two teams that we follow, the Nats and the Cubs, will probably be fighting it out for the National League pennant.
Well, if you look at it from today's perspective, it sure looks like, but you know, it's a long season.
Yes, it is. Well, it's been a long campaign season, too. Feels like it's been going on for years, the primary season. You've made a couple of predictions along the way. You said that by this time we would know the identity of the nominees, and you said there would be no brokered convention. What do you say to that, Terry Bracey?
Well, you know, Bill, Nancy often reminds me that I'm often wrong but never in doubt. So I'll go off the cliff and say, yeah, I really believe we know that, and history sort of taught us at this point, the front runners win. And so I'm fairly sure that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are the nominees. In fact, I'm very sure.
How about this last-ditch effort by Senator Cruz and Governor Kasich to stop the front runner?
I don't know. At the end of these nominating races, desperate candidates kind of do silly things. Senator Cruz is barely breaking into double digits now in the big eastern industrial states, while Governor Kasich has won a single state, his own, out of 41 contests.
Mm.
So, of Cruz is easily, and I don't say this, you know, because I like to say it, but he's the most unpopular member of the Senate. And when you go up there and talk to people, not a few of his colleagues would far rather have Trump. So he's not much of a fallback possibility. And then Kasich has been rejected by more than two-thirds of voting Republicans. You know, it's just really hard for me to see the electorate of New Mexico, Indiana, and Oregon going along with a scheme to prevent Trump from getting the nomination. I think that's silly.
And then we hear that Cruz is loading the state delegations with people that are favorable to him, even though on the first ballot, they are obligated to vote for Mr. Trump. So how important is all of that?
Well, it's, you know, for sure no one gets up earlier in the morning than Cruz. And no question, this tactic of trying to get his friends in slots which are reserved for Trump delegates so that maybe he could get it on the second ballot. I mean, it's an important thing. I mean, if you believe that the GOP convention is going to go on beyond one ballot, then it is important. Senator Cruz sees himself as the only possible beneficiary of a contest that goes multiple ballots because under the rules that the Republicans wrote, only he and Trump are candidates who have met the test of actually winning eight states. The establishment set this rule a couple of years ago, which aimed at speeding up the nominating process, and now they don't want that. So they're really wrapped around their own axle here.
Well, it's going to be pretty hard to beat Mr. Trump at this point, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just don't see it happen. I think that Trump goes in, you know, where he may not have an absolute majority going in, but he will have a very large plurality of delegates and passionate supporters. And Bill, if Trump is anything, he's a horse trader. He'll be in the catbird seat, I think, when it comes to wooing delegates, and who knows what he's willing to offer. You know, not all front runners arrive at conventions of either party with a majority of delegates, but in the end, they always win. And in the television era, it's on the first ballot.
You think the Democratic race is over as well?
Well, the race is not over until Senator Sanders yields, but we know that Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic nominee. That the race continues through California with perhaps negative commercials is not good news for Clinton. And yet, she must somehow figure out how to end it well with Bernie Sanders and his voters, particularly the young people. And I expect in the end she'll give him a major speaking slot at the convention and expect him to play an important role in drafting the platform. But, Bill, he's not going to be her vice presidential pick.
With so many people who are not happy, Terry Bracey, with really either front runner, the vice presidential pick seems like it would be really, really important this time around. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be one factor, and then the age of the candidates would be another factor. And there are really so many factors that go into these decisions that, frankly, I don't have any exposure to with either of these candidates right now. But I can give our listeners the top couple of names that have been circulating here in Washington. On the Republican side, a very popular choice would be Governor Nikki Haley, the young and accomplished governor of South Carolina. She's a terrific speaker with a great presence. You know, she would show both diversity as a woman and as a woman of Indian American heritage. So she has a lot going for her, and she's young. The second name that's being talked about a lot around Washington these days, and wasn't until recently, is Governor Brian Sandoval of Nevada. He's a former judge, and he's so respected that even President Obama approached him about a Supreme Court seat.
Wow. And then I've heard about, I was going to say, on the Democratic side, we've heard about this Julian Castro's name has come up.
Well, he is the flavor of the moment, that's for sure. He's the current HUD secretary, and he's the former mayor of San Antonio with a twin brother. You can't tell them apart. Anyway, he's on everybody's tongue these days. It's known that both Bill Clinton and Hillary have sat down and talked to him, and they're doing all these terrible background checks they do on these vice presidential candidates. It's really almost embarrassing. Another name that's around and talked about here, but not publicly in the country yet, is former governor and now Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. And while Kaine is not a minority, he would be a solid pick from the standpoint that he's from a swing state, he's greatly respected, and he is a Spanish speaker. And beyond that, the list is absolutely endless, and Bill, maybe we should put you on it.
No, not this time around. Matthew has been waiting very patiently, and we are out of time, but I want to work him in here. He wants to go off topic a little bit. Quickly, Matthew, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Terry, there are currently two bills floating around right now in the Arizona legislature that would dramatically affect allowing opting out for developments above the 25,000 level without proving that they have an adequate water supply. You know, with the current situation with CAP, are you concerned that Arizona could potentially put itself in a bad state with regard to its ability to defend its own water when they're not protecting it at home? Thank you.
Well, these are perilous times for us, Matthew, as you know, and our firm has the privilege of representing the Central Arizona Project here. And everything that's being talked about here in Washington and with the leaders in our state is about conservation. And now we have bone-dry California. Some of their biggest producers are trying to move into Cochise County and use underground water supplies there. And, you know, there are proposals around. I can tell you they would be greeted with no favor here in Washington. And I suspect that the governor and our water leaders look pretty dimly on them as well.
All right. Terry Bracey. Thank you, Terry. We will look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Thanks, Terry.
Okay, Bill. Fun to do it.
All right. This portion of Buckmaster presented by Green Things, my favorite nursery, Green Things, right off of River, actually right on River, 3384 East River, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. If you're looking for roses, if you're looking for anything that's green, including green pottery, well, they have all sorts of colors. They've got all the gardening supplies, greenthingsaz.com. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Don't Miss Business event of the season is here. The 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards are May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort at 5:30 p.m. Join us for a celebration of the long history of Better Business Bureau in Southern Arizona as we honor this year's winners for their work in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. This spectacular dinner event is selling fast. Don't delay. Reserve your spot today and register at bbb.org/Tucson.
What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal. And every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for a newsmaker interview with University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Also, how you can get involved in helping preserve our national parks. Buckmaster live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelly Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Let's go now on the live line to Lyon, France, and certified financial planner Shelly Fishman, where it is, 9:22 in the evening in Lyon. How are you, Shelly?
I am well, Bill, and I'm just tiny bit wet because it's drizzling here. It's been a very, very wet spring for the Rhone River Valley, and the river is several feet higher than it ought to be, despite all the flood control and the dams and the dikes and all of that. And so we can't get under the bridges, and so our trip has stopped here at Lyon, where we've gotten to discover this really great city. It's either the second or the third largest city in France, depending upon how you measure. If you take the suburbs and the entire metropolitan area, Lyon is number two to Paris. If you just take the arrondissement, the actual pieces of the city that are official, then it's just a little bit behind Marseille.
Wow, I think I could win a trivia contest now about France if someone asked, well, what, of course everyone knows Paris, but what is France's second city? And if you said Lyon, you'd probably be pretty close.
Yep, absolutely.
So Shelly, you've had a great trip over in Europe, and what's the reaction been? I know you have, when you talk with local people and they find out you're American, I bet Donald Trump's name comes up.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the television and, you know, CNBC International and CNN International and the BBC in Europe, They cover our elections because we're important to them. And of course, President Obama has been here in the past week or so. He keeps trailing me around. I don't get it. But,
you know, he's following you.
So what we do in the states is, you know, is critical in economic ways to what is going on, you know, in the rest of the world. And so, yeah, we're very important, and we're very much in the news every day.
The market situation has been very good while you've been away.
Yeah, really. Thank you.
We've actually been touching, haven't we? Some new highs.
Yeah, we hit a couple of new highs and backed off a little bit. We're just, I mean, I checked a couple of minutes ago, and it seems like we're just under 18,000 on the Dow. There's no real economic news that is of any surprise or import. You know, it's the same stuff you and I have talked about with our audience, Bill, for 5 years we've been doing this now. You know, the Fed meets, the Fed does nothing. You know, everybody says, oh, the Fed did nothing, that's good. And then everybody says, well, the Fed did nothing, that's bad. And so we're seeing a lot of that. We're also seeing mixed results from some of our largest corporations. We're also seeing the potential for some additional, or let's call it more specific, regulation on you know, the large banks. And as long as there's that uncertainty, then you get the kind of volatility that we've gotten. But that volatility in the past month has brought us up to levels that are kind of jumping off points for where 2016 could go.
Well, I think oil prices going up have surprised some people. I mean, oil went up, I think, again today. We're at about $44 on the barrel. That's pretty good recovery.
Well, that is a pretty good recovery from, you know, having been down below 30. But let's put it in, you know, in the context of, you know, a commodity that not that long ago was in the area of 150.
Wow.
So what people are trying to figure out is can oil at $40 to $50 provide enough support for the industry to keep the industry healthy? And what we saw, I want to say it was today, I'm losing track of time a little bit because of the time difference, mm-hmm. but we saw the bond rating of ExxonMobil fall from the top bond rating to a AA+, which is one level down, based upon some of the decisions they've made over the past year or two, and some concern on the part of the rating agencies that at the current price of oil, they will not be able to kind of recover from their spree of buying up their own stock and some of the investments that they've made. So the oil industry, even at the top level of the oil industry, is feeling, feeling the impact of the changes in what's going on in that industry now worldwide.
And Saudi Arabia decided they were going to put out a reform plan of what's life going to be like in the kingdom after oil runs out.
Right, and they've got this 30-year-old prince who's kind of managing it. And, you know, if you take a look at the, you know, I think there's this 2,000-page report. I may be completely wrong, but it's a very long, detailed report. And the people who are reading it and studying it think that he's kind of got it going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shelley, I hear the wind is blowing there. It sounds like...
You're right. I'm at the top deck of this ship. I'm looking over the phone. It's absolutely gorgeous, but it is windy.
Yeah, and knowing Europe about this time, it's probably still light. It stays light this time of year a little bit, almost past 9. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're in daylight savings time, and so it's just gotten dark. Mm-hmm. I can tell you one thing that I found out that it never occurred to me could possibly be.
What?
We were in Saint-Tropez, and it was this absolutely clear day, and from Saint-Tropez, which is in the southern part of France, we could see the Alps, and we could see snow on the Alps.
Ooh, Very unusual. Yeah. Very unusual.
Right. I've got some pictures to prove it.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing those when you're back with me in the studio a week from today. Have a very safe trip home, Shelley. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, and have a great week.
Thanks a lot. Shelley Fishman.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal. And every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:34 on kind of a hazy Tuesday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. That mile-high elevation makes for mild days and cool nights. So much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. If you have not been up there to check out this national monument, please do so. It's just north of Silver City. It is a gorgeous road trip that you have ahead of you if you have not been up there. Great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses. The full listing of the wonderful places to stay and the many things to do on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. This year, the National Park Service is celebrating its 100th anniversary. National parks have been around longer than that. The country's first national park, Yellowstone, was established by Congress in 1872, but there are so many parks that we have now grown, this system has grown into, that we really cherish, and especially those of us here in Arizona, in New Mexico, very rich in national parks. The Western National Parks Association helps make the national park experience possible for everyone. Jim Cook is the executive director of the Western National Parks Association. Jim, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Pleasure to be here.
Tell me a little bit about the history of the Western National Parks Association.
Our organization was founded in 1938, just up the road in Casa Grande Ruins. That was, of course, one of the early pieces of antiquity that was protected by the U.S. government going back a very long time ago. So in 1938, the organization was established to be an education partner of 18 of the Southwest monuments at that time. Over the years, we have ultimately affiliated with 69 national parks now.
Including what I was just talking about, Cliff Dwellings.
Yes,
National
indeed.
Monument, which
indeed.
Is really something to see. If people
Beautiful.
Have not been there, you don't need to go up to Mesa Verde, although Mesa Verde is a great trip. But Cliff Dwellings, I think, will surprise a lot of people, won't
it's
it?
Very special place, indeed.
So it has grown now in your portfolio to 67 parks, and you're across how many states?
We're in 12 western states.
Okay.
And officially today we learned that we're affiliating with two additional parks, actually. So that will include now the Carlsbad Caverns and the Guadalupe Mountains National Parks.
How do we get young people engaged in our national parks? I mean, getting the kids away from the devices and from videos and getting them outside and experiencing the parks rather than looking at videos of them.
Well, I think you and I probably share something in common, Bill, and many Americans of our age anyway, where we had the tradition of packing the kids into the station wagon and going out and visiting the USA in our Chevrolet.
Family road trip.
Right,
summer
exactly.
Summer road trip, sure.
And that tradition is still around, of course, but perhaps not as frequent as we'd like to see. And so, indeed, a lot of the kids now are not getting exposure to nature or free time outside even. And so I think one of the key things that we're focusing on right now as an organization in support of the National Park Service is finding ways to engage kids where they are in urban areas and connecting them to nature, obviously national parks and other public lands. We're doing that in a couple of ways. Number one, we're reaching out to them literally and providing opportunities to go to the national parks. Over the course of this year, 2016, the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service, there is a Every Kid in the Park initiative targeting fourth graders. And so fourth graders and their families will get a free pass to the federal public lands to experience nature. We also support other programs, particularly underserved populations, to provide those opportunities for those school kids getting into the parks. We are also working on ways to engage with younger populations through technology. Now, many would say technology is sort of the opposite end of where we want to be, but I think if you look at it as really a tool to engage youngsters, it could be very effective. So, for example, we're working with a technology-oriented organization. It's a game app, actually, to engage kids in nature while they're in nature. So they learn, they have a good time, and they're inspired to do more of the same and go to other natural areas.
The experience for you began, well, you actually were a part-time ranger, correct?
Well, yeah. So growing up here,
what really kindled your interest?
I would say even before that, I grew up in Tucson, and very fortunate to grow up in an area of Tucson that was pretty wild. We were sort of on the edge of town at that time, and so it was very much part of my growing up. But indeed, I was a seasonal park ranger for the National Park Service in Glacier National Park for 3 summers in 79 through 81, and that absolutely sort of cemented my interest in conservation and our national park system.
In my travels to national parks, and I've been in a fair share of them, I wish I had have been able to travel to more, and I look forward to doing that. But it seems like certainly in the summer, there is a lot of seasonal employees. Do they still hire a lot of young people, Jim?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there are more and more opportunities for young people to get summer employment through the Conservation Association, SCA. There's also seasonal work through the Park Service itself. And of course, a lot of youngsters get work through the concessionaires, for example, at the hotels and the restaurants and whatnot in the national parks.
That's a great experience for the kids.
It is.
It can be life-changing. So you have the National Western National Parks store as well that you're very proud of.
Indeed. Our headquarters is here in Tucson. And as we mentioned earlier, our reach actually is across 12 Western states in these 69 national park units. However, we have an independent store that is something outside of a park here in Oro Valley, located up in the Innovation Park between Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi Adventis. And this store has been in operation since 2002. It's a beautiful facility. We sell a lot of books and other educational products, including a lot of the Native American craft, particularly generated through the Hubble Trading Post, which is one of the national parks that we operate in.
Wow, you don't need to make a trip up to Hubble. You can find
still want to do that.
I know. That's a great trip up in Navajo land. But that you do have items from that area then
at
the store.
We do. We work with over 800 artists every year, weavers and silversmiths and basket makers, kachina makers, across the Navajo and Hopi nations. And we not only operate the Hubble Trading Post and sell wares through our store here in Tucson, but at quite a number of the national park units that we work with. So those crafts are available to a much larger audience.
And you fund research as well.
Yes, we do. That's definitely one of the keystone parts of our mission is supporting research in parks. And that research could include research in the biodiversity or the archaeology or even social sciences. For example, one of the major initiatives of the National Park Service, like many organizations, is to ensure that future audiences find these marvelous resources relevant. And so what is it that we can do to make sure that more diverse audiences, younger audiences, feel invited and included in the national park experience. And so one of the research projects that we funded locally with the Saguaro National Park was to do some market research on the Hispanic population here in Tucson and explore why is the fact that only a very small percentage of the Hispanic population visit the national park here.
It's under 10%, I understand.
Exactly, and yet the population is considerably more than that. Yeah. So that's an example of how our funding has helped the National Park Service.
All right, Jim Cook of the Western National Parks Association. Your website, it would be a good place to start.
Yes, it is. So WNPA is in Western National Parks Association.org.
Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Our arts report presented by Fox Tucson Theater coming up right after this.
What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right. We should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog. Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners and the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amori on the web at viroamori.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Amma Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where the Arts Report is sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown Fox Tucson Theater. April 28th, Fox welcoming music icons John Anderson and Jean-Luc Ponty. Together they form the Anderson Ponty Band. John Anderson, singer-songwriter for the band Yes. He was actually the guest this morning, Daily Double, with Christy Simone. That was a great hour with John Anderson. And then Jean-Luc Ponty, jazz and rock pioneer and undisputed master of the violin. They have found a sound that breathes new life and dimension into songs that are fan favorites and certainly have stood the test of time. May 6th, that's a Friday, the Fox welcomes William Shatner, Shatner's World. That's going to be fun, utilizing antidotes, songs, jokes, and even some poignant memories. Shatner shares the twists and turns of his storied career. So to view the full schedule of live performances, events, and classic films, to purchase tickets to see the Anderson Ponty Band April 28th and Shatner's World on May 6th, visit foxtucson.com. Let's go now to Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Sounds like the Fox has a great lineup there, huh, Dan?
Yes, they do. I have another Fox event worth noting.
What's that?
Well, I'm happy to tell you.
Okay.
They have the I Dream of Widescreen program on Saturday, May 7th. It's the BFA thesis films from the University of Arizona School of Theater, Film, and Television. Generally sold out, a standing room only event. They're original films from the U of A's Film and Television program. And then these films end up traveling to major international film festivals, Sundance, Berlin. So it's really a great opportunity to see, you know, great young work, the future of film. It's going to, the Film Tucson, which is part of Visit Tucson, is one of the sponsors. It's an incredible event, and if you love film at all, you should plan to be at the Fox on Saturday, May 7th.
All right.
Busy time of year, though, so, I mean, I understand. Just mark it down now. Put it on the calendar.
Yeah, and Gypsy Kings are also coming, one of my favorite groups, and I think tickets went on sale earlier this week. So, I mean, the Fox has a great lineup coming up. Anything else that we should know about? Go ahead, Dan.
No, that was it. No, I'm just kidding. There's more. The 31st Annual Tucson Folk Festival is this weekend.
Oh.
I'll mention this again when I appear on Friday, but just to get people heads up, Saturday, April 30th from noon to 10, and Sunday, May 1st from 11 to 9. This takes over downtown Tucson, El Presidio Park, La Cocina, Tucson Museum of Art. Best part, entirely free. Music, workshops, stuff for children. There'll be food vendors. That part's not free. But you can see over 120 performing artists from Southern Arizona around the country. John McCutcheon headlines on Saturday. Nancy McCallion, who you may remember from the Mollies, is on Sunday. Great event. You can learn more at TucsonFolkFest.com. Back on the film note, the Hanson School of Film at U of A does a thing called the Hanson Dialogues, where you get to see these incredible producers, filmmakers talk about their craft. It's generally free. This Friday at 7 p.m., they have the producer of Selena, the Milagro Beanfield War, introducing Dorothy Dandridge. That is Moctezuma Esperanza. He's going to be talking about diversity and opportunity in Hollywood. It's a great get for the Hanson Film Institute to have this person who's made a lot of films very successfully talk about it. That's Friday at 7. You can learn more at hansonfilm.org. Also, back on the sort of visual arts, I don't want to ignore the visual arts. Audrey Flack, who's if you've been to the U of A Museum of Art, you've seen her work. It's she has a piece called Marilyn that's in the stairwell. It's a photorealistic piece. She will actually be in the museum on Thursday, April 28th at 5:30 p.m. She'll be spending time in the gallery, and she's working actually on a piece there called Ars Victoria that is it's going to be sort of this living artistic piece. It's free with admission, museum admission, and for in case people did not know, if you're a student, U of A faculty and staff, or if you have a military tribal ID, or if you're under 18, U of A Museum of Art is always free. So it's a spectacular bargain, and you can see one of the artists from the most popular pieces of work they have there. Got time for another?
Yeah, I do. Give us another one.
All right, here you go. Back on the visual arts. Nicole Miller will be giving an artist talk at MoCA this Thursday at 6 p.m. She's Tucson-born. She's Los Angeles-based. Nicole Miller, she's actually going to be doing an installation consisting of 6 video projections. The entire southeast wing of the museum will be this immersive video experience. Nicole, Ms. Miller's done this incredible work. It's sort of a riff on how oversaturated we are media-wise, how moving images are used. It's not documentary, but it's sort of something in that space. It's an observation and documentary at the same time. That's Thursday at 6. It's free for MoCA members. Non-members, it's $5, but there'll be snacks and drinks, so hard to pass that up. And you can learn more about that at mocatucson.org.
You know, you're in the tourism business, and when we travel, we always try to go to fine museums. And I don't think that my wife and I are alone in that interest, and that is an area that perhaps has been underutilized by the Tucson, the folks promoting tourism in this community. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's definitely a big part of the push we're doing with our new website, which launches in June. Mm-hmm. We've added a lot of artistic content. But it is amazing how I was talking to one of the marketing people at Tucson Museum of Art, and she said estimated over 50% of their audience might not just be from out of town, but from out of the country. So international visitors definitely make a big part of it. But we, when we have interested journalists or tour operators, we try to get them as part of that. And then one of the great things is that you can Tucson offers opportunities to mix art into places where you might not see them. Business meetings often will go to the Snoring Glass School or do an event at Diane Medeiros' gallery or at De Grazia. So you try to get people. There are art visitors, but then there are also people who just want to have an experience with the arts, and Tucson's a great place for that, for sure.
University of Arizona Museum, of course, is home to a world treasure when it comes to Spanish Renaissance art. The panels are world famous there. I forget how many there are, but it's a really incredible thing to see the condition that they are in.
No, absolutely, and they have a wide variety of options. I don't think people always realize just what a treasure the U of A Museum of Art is, and shockingly affordable. You can see the Rothko, which they've now put in a new display, which is more closely to the intent that Mark Rothko had for his art, and always great exhibits. And I think you can see some of the Master of Fine Arts students work there right now, their thesis work. So always a great opportunity to go out there. If you haven't been to the U of A Museum in months, even, there's something new all the time.
You know, on your Facebook page today, Mr. Gibson, you talked about a competition for best town or something. What was that about?
So Outside Magazine, which is sort of a great, it really is a great publication covering, you know, hiking and biking and canoeing and all that stuff. They have a contest every year called the Best Towns Contest. Readers vote on it. So you can go to their website at outsideonline.com, or you can go to our Facebook page and check it out. And so we're right now, for the next 4 days, we're up against Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, which is a lovely city, but I think we should beat them. And it's a 64 cities. It goes down to one town, which will be the best town ever for a year. And so I'm hoping to win that. The next round will be a little tough. We'll be up against Sun Valley, Idaho, or Salt Lake City. But I haven't counted my chickens before the hatch. We've got to get through this one first. But you can keep updated on that at our Facebook page, facebook.com/visittucson.
And for those wondering, who was Jim Thorpe? He was a Native America, famous Native American athlete. Jim Thorpe, and has the town named after him back in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I feel bad because he is an American treasure, and he was a hero.
Uh-huh.
But I would like to destroy these cities that he's. I mean, not literally destroy, but
of
I would
course.
Like to beat them very much.
All right, Dan Gibson, always a pleasure, and double duty for you. We'll have you back for Weekend Watch as Matt Russell has another commitment during the noon hour. See you Friday.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. Dan Gibson with us with the Arts Report presented by the Crown Jewel of Downtown Fox Tucson Theater. Great lineup coming up April 28th. John Anderson and Jean-Luc Ponty. Together they make up the part of the Anderson Ponty Band. And then coming on Friday, May 6th, this is going to be really fun, Fox Theater welcoming William Shatner in Shatner's World. A lot of people don't realize it, but he started out as a serious Shakespearean actor. Of course, later becoming a cultural icon and actually developed into kind of a sub-character of himself. To view the full schedule of live performances, events, and classic films, and to purchase tickets to see Anderson Ponty Band on April 28 and Shatner's World on May 6, visit foxtucson.com, foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, for Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw and Ray Allen presenting that 1 hour of fine local programming. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, The Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, with Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, University of Arizona president, who I'm sure will clarify her position on a controversial position she has accepted with an educational organization. And that will be talked about tomorrow. Until then, Bill Buckmaster, have a great afternoon and evening.